Let me do an intro first. Okay.
We're nearing the end of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we're going to wrap up next week, and then we'll circle back around and begin another journey through the Old Testament throughout the fall. This summer, we've studied the book of Romans, and we've studied Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we did them in that order because I wanted us to have a really firm grip on God's grace and unconditional love before we start talking about how we should live. It's very easy and very common for us to get the idea that God loves us and accepts us because we're good people, because we do the right things. And that's just not true. God loves us and accepts us because that's just how God is. And the Sermon on the Mount, but it does matter how we live. God loves us and accepts us because that's how God is, but it matters how we live. We understand God better because of how Jesus lived. And the world will understand God better because of how we live. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It talks about being salt and light in this world, living by the principles of God's law, how to deal with our anger, our lust, what it means to make promises, to avoid taking revenge, how we love our enemies, why we give to the poor, how we pray, why we fast, our relationship with money, our anxiety. So many ways that we can demonstrate who God is by how we choose to live. This morning's verses that we're going to hear are about our relationships with other people, the fact that they are reciprocal, which means how our relationships are balanced between what I do and what you do. Now, this is probably another very familiar set of verses to you, things you have heard many times, whether you've been in church or not. And so I invite you to try to listen with new ears this morning. Ask the Spirit to show you something different as Grace reads. So let us listen now in the reading of Scripture for the word and the wisdom of God.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in another's eye and pay no attention to the plank of your own eye? How can you say to another, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from another's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone else who receives, the one who seeks and finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your child asks for bread, will give stone? Or if the child asks for fish, give snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So I'm wondering, how many of you liked math when you were in school? It was your subject, your jam. Yeah, that's right. How many of you maybe not so much? Okay. I bet that for some of you who didn't like it, that one of your biggest complaints was, when am I ever going to use this? Am I right? Have I heard that? Yes. Well, my mother is a math teacher, and so was my dad. And I asked her this question once, when, Mom, am I ever going to use this? And you know what she told me? She said, girl, you are never going to use this. And that's not the point. She said, the point of math, especially the advanced math, I was talking about like the quadratic formula. I'm like, Mom, I'm never going to use this. The point of learning that kind of math is to teach you how to think. It's not to learn to do the math problems. It's to learn how to think about the world. When we do math, we learn to reason. We learn to think in steps. We learn how to solve problems. We learn how to think logically. And those are skills that we need all the time, even when we are reading and interpreting the Bible and thinking about our own lives. So this morning, I would like to invite you to use a little bit of critical thinking skills with this text that we heard. The things that we're going to talk about this morning have been really big lessons for me in my own life, so they're a little bit different maybe from the direction you thought we would go with the text, but I want to share with you some things that have been really impactful for me. Now, I know all of you well enough to know that no one can relate to this in here, but I used to be very hard on myself. And Sam is probably going to want to tell you that I still am hard on myself, but my point is I used to be very hard on myself. And one day, someone told me, Beth, if you would learn to be more gracious with yourself, you would be more gracious with other people. And that I was really kind of offended by that, because I thought I was pretty good at being gracious with other people. I thought I was pretty loving. I thought I was pretty non-judgmental with other people, even though I was pretty judgmental with myself. But that idea got stuck in my head. And I started to think about it, and I started to work on what would it look like for me to be more gracious with myself. And you know what happened? As I got to be more gracious with myself, I actually was more gracious with other people. It was very freeing and very annoying, because I like to be right. Here's the thing. Jesus is not lying when he says, the measure you give is the measure you get. And it actually works both ways. The measure that we use for other people is used back against us. And the measure that we use for ourselves is actually a pretty good guide for how we're going to measure other people. If we are judgmental with ourselves, then deep down inside, we are judgmental of other people too. We may be decently good at hiding it, but it's there. And if we learn to be more gracious with ourselves, we will learn to be more gracious with others too, especially with strangers, with people whose situation we don't already know. The measure we give is the measure we get. See, the thing about the Bible is that it's a really great mirror, but a really poor lens. Or maybe we could say it like this. If the Bible was a camera, it would take great selfies, but it wouldn't take very good pictures of other people. What I mean is this, the Bible is not meant to be used to help us to figure out what those people need to be doing. The Bible is meant to be used to help us figure out what we need to do, to help me figure out what I need to do. It's not to be used as a weapon. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not worried about what other folks are doing. He's focused on what his followers are doing. He's focused on how we are living. We are the ones with logs in our eyes. We are the ones who judge hypocritically. The measure we use is the measure that will be used for us. It's the measure we use against ourselves. It's the measure that other people will use for us. And some other verses remind us, it's the measure that God will use because it's the one we decided we wanted. These verses at the beginning of this passage that we read warn us against both being too harsh and being too lenient. Don't be judgmental, but also don't throw your pearls to the pigs. Be discerning. Be honest, be kind in how we treat ourselves and in how we treat others. That's the first half of the verses that we heard. Don't judge, don't throw your pearls to the pigs. The second half is about helping and being helped. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And we can trust that that is true because we trust in who God is, in how loving and how kind God is. We trust that God wants our needs to be met, which raises a really good question. How does God meet our needs? If God is the source of all good things, how do those good things get to us? I personally have never received manna and quail from heaven like the ancient Hebrews did when they were wandering in the desert. I have never woken up in the morning to find my front yard covered with white bread and meat from God. But I do believe that God has provided for me. I have been given groceries by a friend who knew that I was going through a really tough time. When I first moved here to Ohio, I had nowhere to live. And some distant cousins that I had never met before agreed to let me sleep in their spare bedroom for a couple weeks. Now, I believe those groceries and that shelter, I believe that came from God. But it came to me through other people, through people who knew that I had a need. My best friend Jill and I have a little principle that we like to call the reverse golden rule. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, the reverse golden rule. It goes like this. Let's say that in January, I go into labor at 3:00 in the morning and our car will not start. I would bet that a lot of you in this room would say, Pastor Beth, if that happens, you should call me. You can borrow my car or I will drive you to the hospital myself. I bet a lot of you would say that. Now, how many of you would be willing to call me if you needed help at 3:00 in the morning? I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I bet it's a lot fewer of you. There's a lot of you who would say, Pastor Beth, you should call me, but there's not a lot of you who would think to call me. The reverse golden rule is this. If you would do it for me, you should let me be willing to do it. You should be willing to let me do it for you. Most of us want to be the helper. Very few of us want to be the person who needs help. And that, my dear friends, is unbiblical. God invites us to be just as willing to receive help as we are to give it. Do we want to be courteous in this? Of course. When someone helps us, we don't want to take advantage of that. When someone helps us, we want to express our gratitude. That's obvious. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing what we would want others to do if they were in our situation. Sounds a little bit like the golden rule, doesn't it? It's the reverse golden rule. So let's think for a few minutes about why it is so hard to do this, because it's hard. It's very cultural. Most of us in this room were raised in families or communities where we were taught to work hard, to take care of ourselves, and to put ourselves last, right? That's what we were taught. In fact, the narrative of our entire country is that people earn what they have, and that if you just work hard enough, you can get what you need. This is a country built on what I would say at this point is an unhealthy level of self-reliance. God calls us to be interdependent, not just independent. We judge, as a society, we judge people's human value by how much money we are able to produce in the economy. Which means that most of us are ashamed when we need help, especially when we need financial help. That's cultural. It's we've taught ourselves to do it as a whole country. That's where it comes from. So we feel ashamed when we need help, not just when we need financial help. Many of us feel ashamed as we age. It's hard to let go of things. It's hard to say, I need help. Many of us feel ashamed even if we're just sick and we need somebody to help us, don't we? Friends, this is not healthy, and it does not reflect the kingdom. All of us in this room have at some point been in a situation where we needed help of some kind. Sometimes it's because we made stupid choices. Sometimes it is. But more often than not, we got there because life is hard and complicated, and even when we do the best that we know how to do, things just don't always go our way. That's reality, and we need help, and there's nothing to be ashamed of in that. Those are exactly the moments where God wants to meet our needs through the caring and generosity of the people around us. Think about how good you feel, how blessed you feel when you are able to help someone. And now imagine that every time you ask for help, you are giving someone else the opportunity to have that experience, to bless you. When we refuse to ask for help, we're keeping someone else from being blessed. When we're ashamed of needing help, we are saying that everyone who needs help should feel ashamed of it. And I know you don't actually think that, because that's not how you treat people. I've seen it. I have watched you step in and be generous and serve one another. So this is where we're going to use our logical math skills and our Bible knowledge put together. If someone else should not feel ashamed of needing help, then there's no need for you to feel ashamed of needing help. You are not different than other people. You are not better than other people. I am not better than other people. I am not a special category of human. It makes no sense for us to be harder on ourselves than we are on other people. Now, I'm being so direct about this morning because as the pastor, I hear things that not everyone else hears. I know there are needs in this congregation that you're not sharing with each other. And I'm not going to call you out. That's not my job. That's not why I got up here this morning. But there are those among us who have financial needs. There are those among us who have food needs, who have transportation needs. There are those among us who are lonely. And there is also a tremendous capacity in this congregation to meet those needs. And friends, that is why God brings us together in community. As we said last week, each of us has a gift that everyone else needs. Some of those are gifts of money for the family emergency fund that we can distribute to everyone. Some of those are gifts of money that you just give to one another because you know someone needs it. We have gifts of time to spend together. We have gifts of preparing a meal, gifts of networking, to help people find jobs. But if we don't know what those needs are, those gifts just lie dormant. They just sit there being unused inside of us. We spend our free time watching TV and we fill our spare bedrooms with stuff we're not using. And we miss out on the blessings of giving and the blessing of receiving. I gotta tell you, I'm gonna call out one thing. I think one of the best examples of this, of community and humility and everything that I have seen, is Chris Brewer last summer. One day she got up and said, "I cannot get my lawnmower to start. Can someone just come over and pull the cord really hard for me because I can't pull it hard enough?" Do you remember that? Yeah, and somebody went over and pulled the cord on Chris's lawnmower. It is that simple, friends. It wasn't Chris saying, "Oh, I'm ashamed that I can't pull that cord hard enough anymore." No, I just really need somebody to come pull the cord on my lawnmower. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's the kind of community that we want to be building. That's the kind of freedom that we should feel in saying, there's a thing going on and I need some help with it, whatever that is. If you would want someone else to ask in the situation, there's nothing wrong with you asking. Now, it is scary to ask for help because all of the reasons that we've already discussed. I know it is. But if no one knows that we have a need except for God, it's quite unlikely that it will be met. God will make it met. I believe that somehow. But Usually it's because someone else knows too, and then God prompts that person to meet the need, right? You've all felt that. You've all felt prompted by God to meet a need that you know about, haven't you? That's how it works. We have to know about them. The enemy of our souls, however you think about the power of evil, uses the power of secrets and the power of shame to keep us separated from one another. And that is not what Jesus wants for us. God calls us to be courageous and to be vulnerable so that we can do the work of the kingdom. The work of the kingdom that Jesus tells us, feeding the hungry and the thirsty, welcoming the foreigner, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting the prisoners. It's right there in Matthew 25. The measure that we give is the measure that we get. Jesus invites us to do for others as we would have them do. And as one of the rabbis once said, that's the whole law. Everything else is commentary. Amen.